Welcome back to About Music. Today we're talking about Beethoven and his use of harmony. Beethoven's mastery of harmony and modulation was groundbreaking. His fearless exploration of these transformed them into a vehicle for profound emotional and dramatic expression, setting new standards for musical innovation and shaping the evolution of Western music for generations. He pushed the boundaries of classical norms and laid the groundwork for the Romantic era and beyond. Beethoven studied harmony with Christian Neef, Joseph Haydn, Johann Albrechtsberger, and Antonio Salieri, but his studies with Albrechtsberger were particularly influential for mastering advanced techniques. These experiences, combined with his self-study of Bach and other composers, helped Beethoven develop his innovative approach to harmony, which set him apart as a revolutionary figure in Western music. This topic of Beethoven's use of harmony is one that can become highly theoretical, and even musicians frequently do not pay attention to the techniques that Beethoven used. These are beyond the scope of this program. Even so, I have an awful lot to say today, and I would beg you to stay and pay full attention. For the non-musician, careful listening will still reveal the intricacies of Beethoven's craft, even if you do not understand precisely how it was achieved. It's somewhat like an art exhibition, where we may not understand the composition of the artwork, but we can appreciate what it is that makes it different to other artworks. The starting point of understanding and appreciating Beethoven's use of harmony and keys is being familiar with what came before, especially in the music of Mozart. Although Beethoven widened the horizons enormously, he never abandoned the tonal basics of the previous two centuries. When listening to a work of any of these periods, it is essential to have in mind the sound of the home key. That is why concert programs identify the key in the title of the pieces. The home key is either the starting point, or the starting point is written in such a way as to lead the ear to the home key. Here is an example where the home key is very clearly established immediately. When we know what the key of the opening is, we can recognize when the music has moved to another key. Here is a clear example where the move happens very quickly indeed. Did you get that? Listen again, and take note how abruptly Beethoven does this. Generally, this would take much longer, but Beethoven moved through two other keys, distant keys, before returning to the home key. The sequence is home key C major, G major, B flat major, and F major, and then he uses a particular chord called the dominant seventh to set up our ears for the return of the home key. To appreciate this, you need to focus on remembering the sound of the home key. Change of key in music, or described differently, exchanging the notes of one scale for the notes of another, is called modulation, and it is accomplished by the use of harmony. The easiest and therefore the most common modulations are from the home key to the major or minor keys that have only one note different. Having only one different note means that they have six notes in common, like C major to G major in our example we just heard, where the only change is an F that is replaced with an F sharp. All the other notes remain the same, so the change is easily digested. that the next modulation from G major to B flat major is a distant modulation. There are three altered notes between these scales. In the C major to G major, we hardly notice, it's very subtle. But in the G major to B flat major, we have a Beethoven speciality. He simply makes an obvious leap. Let's listen again. The place in all sonata-style compositions where the changes of key are most obvious is called the development. Here is an example. First, I will play the same opening we listened to earlier, where the key of E major was clearly established, followed by the change of key. Take note how dramatic it is, the sudden leap method. Beethoven started this development in E major, the home key, and promptly switches to A minor, which is four changed notes different from E major. He employs the sudden jump technique. Then he subtly switches to C major, which effectively has the same notes as A minor, and then to E minor, which differs by one note from both C major and A minor. Beethoven then very cleverly jumps from E minor to E major, which, although they differ by three notes, they share the most important notes, the first, fourth, fifth, and seventh notes, and thus they are very closely linked. It's a simple matter to reintroduce the altered notes while emphasizing the common notes, and there we are, back home. Let's listen again. But very important, you need to remember the sound of the first chords so that you will recognize them when they reappear later. This is active listening, paying attention instead of just floating along. Now, in this same sonata, I want to play for you the opening two themes, and I would like you to take note how Beethoven moves to the key five notes up, which we refer to as the dominant. Thank you. When these two themes reappear later, take note how Beethoven makes an alteration so that we do not end up 5 notes higher, but instead remain in the home key. The appreciation of a sonata structure presupposes that the listener will recognize this. So, this becomes this. And this becomes this. This procedure is common throughout Mozart and Haydn as well as other composers, and this Beethoven sonata is a very early one where he is still in full classical mode. In later works, Beethoven became far more adventurous. Please remember as we listen to the whole movement that the first section is repeated before we get to the development we listened to earlier. This is deliberate on the part of the composer to be sure that the listener has the key and the main themes clearly in mind before the fun starts. Please listen actively. Try to remember the sound of the home key and recognize it each time we return to it. Thank you.
Thank you.
I know I've bent your ears around corners you may have not expected, but this is just scratching the surface. Let's listen to the full other sonata, where many of the same points apply but on a much bigger scale. This is a much later work, the famous Waldstein Sonata, Opus 53 in C major. Please pay attention to the sound of C major and try to recognize it throughout. All the features we discussed are there, but the harmony is considerably advanced. As usual, the first part is repeated. In this sonata, the second main theme is in E major, a very distant key, differing by 4 notes. And when it reappears later after the development, it reappears in A major, which is 3 notes different, then A minor, which is equal to C major, and then C major proper, all in the space of a few seconds. Typically for Beethoven, after a short while he again wanders off into another distant key, by the abrupt method. The opening theme returns in D flat major, a change of 5 notes, leaving only 2 notes in common with C major. And listen how quickly and easily Beethoven gets back to C major and gives us the opening once again in the ending, just to satisfy honor. There are 2 further movements full of astonishing modulations and other devices, but I've said enough. Suffice to say that the second movement functions only as an introduction to the third, which is a titan of composition. Try to remember the sound of C major throughout, so that you can enjoy the changes of key and the joy of coming home. Thank you. I mentioned earlier that this is a huge topic and that a single program cannot do it justice. Additionally, it contains too much theory to be of interest in a radio program. So I'm inviting you, if you would like to pursue this topic, to write to me. My email address is brian.becker@yahoo.com. Spelling it out, that is brian.becker@yahoo.com. I will give you this email address again at the end of the program. I have a final piece for us today. It is from Beethoven's Spring Sonata for Violin and Piano. Be sure to take note of the opening to establish the home key of B-flat major in your mind, and listen attentively to try and catch the changes of key. Thank you for listening today. My email address, once again, in case you didn't catch it, is brian.becker@yahoo.com. Please feel free to write to me. I look forward to next week exploring Beethoven's effect on the composers of the next and subsequent generations, so I hope you will join me. Goodbye until then.